What's up, guys? We are back. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And welcome to Pound for Pound. Guys, UFC 303 went down last night, and wow.
A Shot of Lion production.
Alex Pereira did it again. I mean, on 2 weeks' notice, being able to go in there and shut the T-Mobile Arena down like that. Henry, how incredible was that?
Oh, man, Alex Pereira, he's... The thing is, I will say this, Kamaru. If you're going to strike with Alex Pereira, how do you expect to beat him? It doesn't matter if he was a middleweight and going up to light heavyweight. Like my biggest thing is, like, man, Yuri, like, do these people not learn their lessons? Sometimes I wonder where the IQ of 205 is that. So yeah, congratulations to Alex. Am I surprised? No. The more it stays on its feet, the more the probability game. It's not until Alex Pereira really fights somebody like Ankulaev where I'm gonna say, okay, this guy is he the real deal? 100%. But could he get past a well-rounded wrestler? Someone's gonna bring in the grappling, because then we're really gonna know, Kamaru, if Alex Pereira is at that level to compete against a guy like John Jones. You know, they're talking about him going up. You know, so I think in that perspective, am I surprised? No. The IQ of the light heavyweight division, dude, I think everybody just wants to strike Kamaru. I think that's where everything goes wrong. I mean, was it a 2 week notice where he was able to, you know, do a spectacular thing? Yeah. But it was also 2 weeks for Yuri Prochazka. But either way, Alex Pereira, he's not mentioning John Jones because I think he knows that John Jones has that special sauce and it's called wrestling. But that being said, I want to see the fight with Ankulaev.
Yeah, I agree with you in a sense. I think you are hitting the nail on the head because of the opponents and how the opponents have approached the fights with him. But that's not his fault. And I will give you this. Alex Pereira has done a phenomenal job with what he's had to deal with. If too many people don't consistently grab his leg and try to take him down, then of course, why would he be wrestling a lot, doing all the defense and all of these things to show that, quote unquote, pound for pound, his style would translate all through all different divisions? Because right now, let's be honest, I don't have him high up there on the pound for pound list, but his power is something that it's, I mean, come on. If you're, this is the, that's the least path of resistance for Alex Pereira is just stand and strike with this guy. And everyone seems to be doing that. I'm not going to say he's unstoppable in the striking because Israel Adesanya has shown that. Yep, he can be hurt. Yep, and he can be stopped. Has shown that. So I wouldn't say he's unstoppable there. I would just say that with the approach that some of these guys are taking with him, they're giving him the best possible chance to go out there and be victorious the way that he's doing. But Alex Pereira, I mean, talk about taking advantage of the opportunity that you are being presented. I mean, he's got the total package, you know, like he walks in, he's got the theme dance, you know. It's to the point now, Henry, you know, when Bruce Buffer gets in the middle of that octagon and Bruce Buffer goes, it's time, the whole arena does it too. Alex Pereira has got to a place now where when he's coming out and he stops it and he pulls that bow back and he starts screaming, the whole arena is doing it too. So that lets you know that, yes, he has officially arrived at the superstardom position. And right now, I think he's one of the front runners for the company.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And obviously, I heard he won. You know, he had broken toes, which makes that fight with the kick a lot more impressive. I mean, I wonder what Conor McGregor's thinking right now, the fact that Alex Pereira is able to win a championship fight with broken toes, you know what I'm saying? But anyhow, I just feel like Alex Pereira could make the transition to heavyweight, but I also think he's still a little too small, man. Put him against Tom Aspinall. I think there's a lot to I think I personally feel like there's a lot to that needs to be done for a guy like there's still a lot to be done at the light heavyweight division. I don't think he's kind of got there yet to be able to do that. So that being said, man, I think he has to get through Uncle Live and maybe one more guy, or maybe just I'd be happy if he gets through Uncle Live and then he goes up to heavyweight. You know, and I think you know, you give him a title shot. Give him a title shot. If you're able to beat Uncle Live, then you're truly the undisputed light heavyweight champion of the world. Because you know, if you really look at it too, Kamaru, I'm gonna rephrase what I just said, man. It continues to keep going. They continue to keep giving them these guys that just want to do this. You know, I'm a bit pissed with Uncle Live too, because he doesn't talk. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't tweet. He doesn't do any of that. Even if a guy like Uncle Live does beat a guy like Alex Pereira, does the UFC want a freaking heavyweight that doesn't promote? You know, at least Alex Pereira, he's on social media. He's doing X, Y, and Z. I mean, he needs a partner to dance with. And I just don't. And I think Uncle Live is the toughest test. And I do believe that Uncle Live would be a favorite in that fight. But if he becomes champion, will he be good for the UFC? I personally don't think so.
I like that question that you just raised, but I want to go back. I do. I think Alex Pereira, like I said earlier, he's done everything that needed to be done. So 100% right now, he is one of the scariest guys in those upper weight divisions. Do I think he can go to a heavyweight? 100%. Do I think he's too small? No. I think he can definitely grow into it. He's just as big as, what is he, 6'4"? He's just as big as these guys. He's standing next to these guys, and he looks like a giant still next to them. You know, I think he can put on a little bit more size. And plus, you don't want to make the transition to heavyweight and try to go, okay, I need to be 260. I need to be 260. No, I think he can eat up to about 235, and he'll still keep his speed. His power is heavyweight power already. So, yeah, I think he easily makes the transition. And I think those guys at heavyweight are in trouble as well, because last time I looked at that heavyweight division, there's maybe two or three guys that are willing to grab a leg and run you down and beat you up on the ground. But the rest of those guys, they're going to stand with you, and you're going to stand with a guy like Alex Pereira. I think he will definitely shut a lot of those guys out. Now, as far as it comes to Ankalaev, that's a great fight, 100%. Ankalaev is a guy that could possess that test. But Henry, let's not forget, Ankalaev just fought Jan Blachowicz and barely used his wrestling. So listen, I get what you're saying. Yes, he possesses the skills to give Alex Pereira problems, but it's not his fault. It's not Alex Pereira's fault that when these guys get out there, they're like deers in headlights and they just want to stand and try to strike with him. That's their fault. And he's putting they want to strike with him, and he's putting them all to sleep. A former champion, Prochaska, sleep. Jamal Hill, sleep. Who else did he put to sleep? Like, I mean, he's done everything possible that he needed to do. So I think, you know, it potentially will be the same at heavyweight. I think the two guys that possess a problem, well, actually maybe three guys that possess a problem, is Curtis Blaydes, John Jones, and Tom Aspinall. Yeah. Besides those three guys, I think he puts hands on the rest of those heavyweights as well.
Damn, that's a bold statement, Kamaru. Anyhow, let's move on, dude. I mean, obviously, we saw the co-main event. Brian Ortega eventually pulled out. I have no idea what is it that actually happened with Brian, but I just don't think that mentally he was in there. I think once you miss weight, or if you can't make that weight limit, it's kind of like, I've been there before, like your head's not all there. So I'm not sure what is it that happened. But Brian Ortega was replaced with with 50K, Ige, Dan Ige, our brother from another mother. And you saw that text, he ended up texting, you know, Hunter Campbell. Was like, Hunter, you know, let me read it for you. Hey, Hunter, I've been in camp for 3 months. You know, I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I can fight this guy tonight and beat him. This is what legends are made of. I'm ready. I'm in great shape. Please don't take this opportunity away from me. Within 4 hours, Kamaru, this dude was literally walking the freaking, you know, he was making the walk to fight a guy like Diego Lopez. Watching this fight, though, Kamaru, I'm not too sure if Diego Lopez would really be ready for a guy like Brian Ortega. I mean, was I impressed? A little bit. But the more film that they now have, and the more you're able to kind of watch him fight other top contenders or guys that are that have been ranked in the top 15 or top 10. Like, man, I think Diego Lopez needs to slow down and continue to keep taking a lot of these other fighters in order for him to really, you know, catch a guy in the top 10 or even the top 5. Because we have to remember, too, Brian Ortega is number 3. And a big fight like that, I mean, I think they're still growing in that sense. You know, continue to keep fighting guys that are at his level to eventually then go after a dude like a Brian Ortega.
I hear what you're saying, Henry, but I want to respectfully disagree a little bit. First of all, shout out to 50K Ige for being able to step in there and just put on a performance. I would have liked for him to start a little earlier, but listen, Diego Lopez came ready. He was prepared. You could see it. He was in shape, and he hits hard. He hits hard. He got good combination punching. The only thing is, there's a difference. Styles make fights. It doesn't matter if this guy's number 2, number 3. Number 12 could be a great matchup for number 2 and go out there and shut him down. So styles make fights. And I think this style, Dan Ige's style, the way Dan Ige fought him, was the style that could potentially give Diego Lopez some problems. First and foremost, Dan was cool, just very calm, cool and collective, had his guards up top. He realized very quickly that Diego Lopez was hooking. When he throws his combinations, a majority of those combination shots were all hooks. Bam, 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 bam. So he had his guards up tight, earmuffs up. So he was able to just block those shots. And you can just tell by the experience of Dan Ige that, hey, he understands now that, hey, the way we start this fight is not necessarily the way we're going to end the fight. So I don't need to go 100 miles an hour in the first round. I can slowly build into it. And he had good footwork. He took some shots, which lets you know, hey, okay, it's a fight. Now I know what he's bringing. But by the third round, when Dan Ige started popping him, it looked like, was it not, did it not look like Dan Ige had more power than Diego Lopez in that third round? Dan Ige was popping him, and Diego Lopez now became the defensive fighter. When the whole night, the first two rounds, he was so offensive. He was there. He was throwing massive combinations and fast combinations. He had the speed advantage, but as the fight wore on, Dan Ige really started to show experience, and he started to show that, hey, my style is a potential style that could stop this guy.
There's a lot that's in stake for this guy. I mean, obviously he's a pretty experienced fighter, but he also needs more of those fights, like more competitive fights that are not going to necessarily, you know, can he go up against those top fivers? And that's just a question mark right now that I have. Is he dangerous 100% and beautiful?
I think he could have.
Beautiful, beautiful kick too by Dan Ige. But moving on, dude. Ian Gary Machado versus MVP. Kush, what did you think of this fight?
It was exactly what I said would happen. Well, not exactly, but almost exactly what I said would happen. You know, you have 2-point style fighters, you know, to where they're going to sit back and try to be sharp with the strikes, bop, 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 bop. And you saw that fight. You saw that happen. MVP, what I did see from MVP is that he's a little bit more comfortable now inside the octagon. So from the first fight to this fight, he's a little more calm. He's more comfortable. He's more comfortable dancing here. He's got his combination. He tagged Ian Gary a couple of times to where it looked like, okay, if he starts to go on a run here, he might potentially, you know, be able to find this guy and put him away. But Ian Gary did the smart thing to do. Let me chase the path of least resistance. You know, let me take him down and let me grapple. And he did just that. He took him down. He took his back. That first round, he pretty much all back control, and which won him the round. Second round, I give to Michael Venom Page. I think he started to touch him. He started to find him a little bit. And then in that third round, the same. I think it was just mainly the top control for Ian Gary that got him that win. As you see here, the control time, 7 minutes and 29 seconds. So over half that fight, Ian Gary was on top. So I think that was the story of the fight. But as far as, you know, these guys talking about, I'm putting you clean out, I'm knocking you out, I'm doing all that. Yeah, of course they would have liked to do that. But I from what I saw, it was really only one guy that was really trying to to put the paws out there and try to take the other guy's head off. But all in all, it was a good fight.
Yeah, and it's smart. And it's smart from Ian Garry. Like, I can appreciate the way he fought. Because you know what? At the end of the day, Kamaru, think about it. He's only one match away, dude, from potentially fighting for that belt at 170 pounds. If, you know, Shotkop just tweeted, just called him out and tweeted, like, hey, man, remember the reminder when we used to spar back in the day? Let me read it over here. Kamaru Dean. He said, looks like I forgot. This is from Shotkop Rachmanov. He says, it looks like Ian forgot what happened during those training sessions. I don't mind reminding him in the future. Obviously, Kamaru, you've been there.
You are right. He did a phenomenal job as far as under. This is what Fight IQ is all about. At the end of the day, we are entertainers and we're out there to entertain. But we're also out there to win. And Ian Garry did what he needed to do to go out there and get the victory. Now, was it the most fan-friendly way to do it? No, because at one point, I believe the fans were booing that fight. But it's being smart. And he was smart enough to say that, you know what, I'm going to put my ego aside and I'm going to go out there and get these two checks. And he did just that. Now, as far as him being one fight away, potentially, because you still got guys like, you've still got myself ahead of Ian Garry. You still got Colby Covington ahead of Ian Garry. You still got Gilbert Burns ahead of Ian Garry. You still got Shavkat Rachmanov ahead of Ian Garry. You still got Jack Della Maddalena ahead of Ian Garry. You still got Bilal Muhammad ahead of Ian Garry, who's about to fight Leon Edwards. So you're talking maybe 6-7 guys ahead of him that he still needs to fight. I think he's potentially one or two fights away, depending on which fight it is and who's available at the time. But yeah, Henry, I agree with you. I think him being able to dial it in and not just go out there with the ego and go out there and just get the win shows that he does have fight IQ.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think the future's bright for Kamaru. I know I used to hate and whatnot, but the dude shows that he could scrap. He could fight a different fight and then still win. I mean, Michael Venom Page is, you know, it also showed, too, like, the deficiencies that MVP has. I mean, MVP needs to work on his damn wrestling. Everybody who is watching this fight, who just watched this fight with Ian Garry, and a lot of those takedowns, too, by Ian Garry, it's not like they're the best-looking takedowns, either. Like, Michael Venom Page, man, you better go to Dagestan or whatever that may be. But he really needs to focus in on that, because fighters going to be like, if I'm a wrestler and I'm in the top 10, like, you know what? Give me Michael Venom Page. So I feel like, you know, Michael Venom Page got some work to do. But for Ian Garry, Kamaru, he legit is one fight away. If he fights a guy like Shotkop Rachmanov and beats him, he skips the damn line. And that's the beauty about mixed martial arts is, not only is it a competitive sport, but we also have to see the fact that mixed martial arts, it's entertaining too. And if you can go out there and beat a guy like Rachmanov, you're penning to be, you know, to fight for the title once again.
Right. I with MVP, no. How old is MVP? Let's look at it. Is he in his 30s, I believe? How old is MVP? MVP is currently, what does that say? He is 37?
He's 37.
37. He doesn't need to switch. Like, he's talented at what he does. I think it's all about being able to apply it at the right time. I mean, this is dangerous. He was at Bellator doing all these things, and he was having successes with it. I think it might be a little late to say, hey, go to Dagestan and train for 2 years and become a wrestler and then come back and then try to make a run at 40 years old. No, I think he's spectacular at what he does. I think it's just, you know, the right time, right place, right opponent.
But that's mixed martial arts, Kamaru.
But wrestling, I understand, but he just happens to be in a weight division that wrestling is not learned overnight. Like, look at a guy like Leon Edwards. You know, I beat the dog crap out of him in 2015 or 2016. And at that point, all I had to do was wrestle. That's it. And he started training. He trained and trained and trained and trained his wrestling to where he got good enough, to where he had confidence enough, to where he actually will take shots. Now, of course, now he fought me in 2022, I believe 7 years later, And he had enough confidence to even try to take a shot. Of course, he didn't get the shot, the offensive shot takedown, but he attempted it. So for him to even have that confidence to be able to attempt it, that shows the years of work that he has put in. Yes, of course, I still, you know, dog walked him with the wrestling. But at the end of the day, you know, it just goes to show that you can't just go to wrestling for 1 year and say, all right, I'm going to go work on my wrestling 1 year. Now I got it. No, MVP is good at what he does. I think, yeah, of course, there is areas that he could clean up with the wrestling. But, you know, you could clean it up a little bit, just like Leon Edwards. You don't have to be an all-star wrestler.
No, but it's not even about – okay, let's scratch the wrestling. Can you get the fuck up from your feet, man? Like, that's – you know what I'm saying? That's jiu-jitsu, boxing, whatever that may be. Can you bring it back to your feet? He's going to get taken down. Now the other – I mean, what's the excuse of you staying on bottom? You have to get back up to your feet, and that's something that you can train every single day. You know who's proven that? Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt.
Leon Edwards.
Every time he got taken down, he always went up to his feet. So I'm just saying, Kamaru Usman, I get what you're saying. Yeah, he's not going to become a wrestler. Even if he did wrestle for 2 years, the sport is extremely difficult. But he does need to get off from bottom, because if he doesn't, it's just like, dude, that's where everybody's going to take the fight now. Ian Garry just showed the blueprint to all the UFC fighters. And it's happened to him before. I mean, he got dog walked too by another wrestler in Bellator. But that being said, I thought UFC, the fight card at UFC 303 was, you know, like always, Dana, Hunter, you know, they always find a way to deliver, you know. Overall, I just, you know, a paying tablet, you know, with the crazy, you know, jab right hand to, but to knock out his opponent. I mean, he's a future rising star. He just called out Adrian Yanez. I mean, we had that. You know, we had the fight of the night with Cub Swanson and Touchy Philly. I mean, the card was good, Kamaru.
The card was good. I agree with you, Henry. I don't know if I like that call out. Tablet. I understand it when you're a young man and you're on a roll like this and you just. Yeah, it's great. I think Adrian Yanez might be a little too much for him because, I think Adrian Yanez, like, I mean, he lost to Rob Font, and I feel like...
What's he been smoking on, Kamaru?
I'm telling you right now, Adrian Yanez is a guy that I am very high on. Yes, he lost to Rob Font, but then everyone kind of are sleeping on him like he's not a killer. He is a killer. Like, this dude is good. Adrian Yanez, I think, is one of the best. He's definitely top seven best boxers, maybe top five best boxers in the UFC. His combination
You're
punches,
like
his combination
like
punches,
that,
his speed. Adrian Yanez is very, very high on my list. I like the kid. He comes to fight every time. He doesn't shy down from anyone, really. I like it. Peyton Tablet, of course, he's young. Prospect, rising prospect that could be the future. So I would love to see the matchup. Just like you want it, the test for him. That's an incredible test for him. But I'm telling you, that's it. You got your hands full. You fighting Adrian Yanez. You got your hands full for sure. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool, man. Overall, what did you think of UFC 303? Come on,
it was a good card. I mean, it's basically one of the you just needed to get it to the finish line. So many things happened. Jamal Hill fell out. Connor fell out. Michael Chandler fell out. Who else fell out? And Anthony Smith came in, and then his opponent was replaced by, you know, Dolidze, and it's, I mean, it was just so many things. It was almost like so many cuts, and the UFC was just kept putting band-aids over cuts just to get it across the finish line, and they did. It was a good card. It was a good card. Nothing bad about it. There were still entertaining fights there, but nothing bad about it.
Let's talk about our picks, Kamaru, because it looks like the Triple C did it again.
What are you talking about?
I just keep pounding the Nigerian nightmare.
Henry, what are you talking about? We tied. It's 2-2. You know, first of all, shout out to Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Pereira only needed, a strike for you to win that, which Henry, you and I both won that, of course, that top one. You see it? We got that. But Henry, you were off with the other one. So don't stop saying you won this. Like, don't gaslight the people, bro. Don't do it. 2-2. I wanna know the running score right now. From last event to this event to the previous event, I want to know the running score. We will get the producers to tally that up, and we will be letting you guys know who's really winning this race here. Because Henry, you gaslighting the people, but yeah, you ain't winning, bro. If anything, we're tied.
No, but you know what? Like I said before, Kamal, like I love underdog. I like how they're doing it. I think I've been making a kind of make a killing off of this too, just from the simple fact that, you know, us as fighters that really understand the game and really understand the fighters, yeah, the outcomes could sometimes, you know, somebody could get knocked out X, Y, and Z. But I love the fact that the takedowns, the punch stats, and everything that kind of goes along with underdog, it makes it extremely fair for us to really kind of, you know, piggyback and you know, make some money, make some shmoney.
100%. I will admit, 2-2. You know, we wait, we leave to fight another day, Henry. So the next card, I'm going to tell you right now, I put 10 push-ups on it, Henry.
All right, let's do it.
I put 10 push-ups on it. I'm gonna win the next one.
All right, but you got. We'll think about it. We'll think of a bet. We'll have the fans come up with a bet, and we'll end up doing it. Wait. And you know, we gotta do it. We gotta stick to it.
Yeah, but that might be too much power for the fans. Giving them too much power to pick what we gonna do. Relax. Let them mess around. Let them say, "Hey, we gotta go. We gotta swim 10,000 meters. Nah, I'm good, bro. I'm good. Underdog Fantasy, you know, playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on fighter stats like significant strikes and knockdown. Underdog has one of the biggest offerings in combat sports and is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, Arizona, and Florida.
Support the show and click the link below in the description to get started. Thank you, Underdog Fanny, for supporting the damn show.
Yep, and that is our recap of UFC 303. As some of you might like to say, I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, aka Triple C.
And we are out.